This morning, I want to begin with a story. I don't often begin with a story. Sometimes I do, I guess, but not often. And this story, some of you maybe have heard before, but it plays into our message this morning. I was pastoring a church, and somewhere and some along some point in the service, I don't know if it was the mid-service altar time or it was at the end of the service, and a lady from the congregation, she was an elderly lady. At some point, she had an oxygen tank that she would pull behind her with the oxygen tube coming up so that she could breathe. I'm not sure if she's pulling it down that morning or not, but she came down the congregation and she came to the altar and knelt. And I, as the pastor, decided that I would, as I do, I was going to kneel down with her and talk with her and say, how can I help you pray? And as I'm praying with her, or I'm finding out what she needs, she turns to me and she says, "Pastor, I know what I need." Now, I don't have all the phrasing right, but these next few words I'm pretty sure I remember verbatim. But she said, "Pastor, I know what I need." She says, "I need a man." Now, I have counseled people at the altar for many things. Having an elderly woman come and kneel down to the altar and tell the pastor, "I need a man," I did not know what to say. Normally, about that time, I would pray to the Lord and say, in my mind, I'm praying, "Lord, help me to respond to this request." And I put it in forms. But at this point, my mind was blank. Because having this lady that's 70 or 80 years old, maybe having oxygen with her at the time, telling me, "Pastor, I need a man," I was not sure how to respond. I wasn't even sure how to pray for how to respond. Fortunately, what seemed after a long time, but it wasn't very long, she says, "I need Jesus." That I could handle. I knew how to work with that, "I need Jesus," but "Pastor, I need a man," I wasn't too sure about. "I need a man." She needed Jesus. And so that was kind of the conversation. So the title of today's message, which will probably stir some to wonder if they see it online, is, "I need a man." Now you're probably wondering, where is he going with this? Well, we're reminded in Scripture about someone else that was kind of in a search. And they were searched for solutions. And it seemed like maybe she was searching for solutions through a man as well, but the wrong man. So turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. We're going to touch on a couple people that are in search of an answer. And they all needed a man. But not just any man, they needed Jesus. In John chapter 4, verse 13 through 26, there's a story of a woman that was a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritan woman was from the group that people saw as an outcast. The Israelites didn't get along with the Samaritans. They would actually go around Samaria to get where they needed to be going. And here Jesus says, "We're going through Samaria." And he sent the disciples in. And here's Jesus alone with the Samaritan woman at the well. And they enter a conversation. Now this woman, we find out later, and we'll talk about a little bit, is she may have had a rough life. She may have made some bad choices. And at some point, and we'll read in the Scripture, Jesus says, "And you've had five husbands. And the one you're with now is not your husband." She might have been searching for answers through multiple men. and she's still searching. And for some of her choices might be why she was at the well by herself that day. She didn't come out with everybody else when they were drawing water from the well. It was just her and Jesus. And so they have a conversation. And so we read in John chapter 4, verses 13. We're coming to jumping into the story. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Jesus knew how she had been searching. He knew the trouble that she had been in. And Jesus knows your history. Jesus knows your experiences. Jesus knows how you've tried to solve your problems on your own, and maybe try to solve your problems through other people, maybe through relationships, maybe unhealthy relationships. And he knew that she was in search. But Jesus had the answer. Jesus is the answer. He has that living water. Let's go back into the scripture, and we'll skip down to verses 28 through 30 of John chapter 4. Verse 28, "The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came to him." Then skip down to verses 39 through 42. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves had heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" She was in search of a solution. She had chased many husbands and many men. But then she found Jesus. She goes and tells the others in the community, "Come and see." Now remember, these are Samaritans. These are the ones the Jews look down on. These are the ones that are separated. They have Jewish blood in them. They are Jewish descendants, but they're mixed. And so there's a separation, but Jesus comes to them as well. Jesus presents salvation to her, and not only she believes, but those that she went back and said, come and see. They come. Then why did they come? They said, could this be the Christ? They were looking for the Christ as well. Maybe in a sense they were watching for, maybe searching, but they came and they believed Christ as well when they encountered Christ. So when we encounter Christ, it should do something to us. We should have this desire to share it with other people. And see, when they come, they maybe come to a church like we're in here. At least today it's a church. And they encounter Jesus. They can believe in Jesus because they encounter Jesus. Because Jesus knows what you have done, and yet he loves you. He knows how you've been searching in the wrong places. But he's the man you seek. He's not just Jesus, a man. He's Jesus, the Christ. The Christ meaning he's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's both man and God. As we know, he came to die on the cross for us. We have a story of another individual, both in the book of John, that also seemed to be searching, hunting, curious. And that's in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. So we talked about the Samaritan woman and trying to solve her problems through multiple men. Like we've multiple relationships maybe, or chasing the wrong things. But then we have Nicodemus here in John chapter 3, 6, and beginning with verse 16. Nicodemus is a ruler in Jerusalem, a religious ruler. And he knew he hadn't quite got to the right place. And some people are religious. Religious in the sense that they religiously do thing over and over. I've said before, people can be a religious drunk. Every Saturday they go out and get drunk and they're hungover on Sunday. Or every Thursday. Or whenever it is. And that alcohol consumes them. They come home and do things to their family. But some search in different places. Maybe it's in the alcohol. It's in drinking. Some it's in gambling. Some it's in, like maybe the woman of Samaria. In bad relationships. Religious. They've gone through the religious activity of the day. But it's not enough to go through the motions, to even go to church, to play the part, say the right things, sing the right songs. But see, we all need the man Jesus, the God-man Jesus the Christ. And here we have Nicodemus in John 3:16. Jesus tells him after some discourse with him, some discussion with him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the life. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and they have been done in God. Nicodemus was on a search, and God has the answer. It's his only begotten Son, Jesus, who next week, as we come into Easter, will celebrate his resurrection. But first, he must die. And he dies for our sins, and through him, we can have everlasting life. In search. The lady that I described early on says, I need a man. She needed Jesus. And when she said, I need a man, she knew when she told me that she needed Jesus. The woman up at the well, the Samaritan woman, had been searching for something. And Jesus knew what she needed. She just didn't need water. She needed the everlasting water. And Jesus knew she had been searching, so he called her out on that and got that point to the conversation. And then through that conversation, she believed. And others believed as well. And then we have Nicodemus, a leader, a religious leader, going through the activity. And he comes to Jesus in search. And Jesus gives him an answer. An answer that applies to all of us. For God so loved the world that whoever, that includes you. Now in Matthew 21, verses 4 through 11, this is where people have found Jesus. They recognize Jesus for who he is. And maybe you're in that camp today. This is Palm Sunday. The triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem. Going into the place where there are those of the religious group that, remember what I described, the religious, that didn't like him. They've even been looking to harm him. Matthew 21, 4 through 11. They had went and got a colt of a donkey for him to ride on. And we enter here in verse 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. We are all in need of this man, Jesus Christ. And if you've found Jesus, you celebrate the coming of Jesus into your heart and where he's made a change. And you don't know about tomorrow, but you know who holds your hand, as the song says. You can trust in him. You don't have to keep searching. You have the answer. It's Jesus. But maybe you're searching. There's a secular song called Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. Like the Samaritan woman, maybe you've had those times you've look for the answer, the needs that you have in the wrong places with the wrong people, giving you the wrong influences, the wrong answers. And all they've done is led you into more despair, more disappointment, and into the wrong direction. But Jesus knows about that. But Jesus is the answer. And it doesn't matter where you're from. You don't have to be of the select Israelites. You might be from the outcasts, like the Samaritans. And you might even, like the Samaritan woman, be an outcast within the outcasts. But Jesus still loves. Jesus died for you. Jesus wants to save you. It's the same message to you as it is to Nicodemus, the one he was proper. He had to even hide as he went to Jesus at night. And Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," what's the old song say? "Whosoever meaneth me," he died for us. And so we should celebrate his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but we should also be celebrating his triumphal entry into our hearts. So the question this morning, do you have Jesus in your life? What is it that you need? Like the woman I illustrated, she said she knew what she needed. She needed Jesus. She just kind of had a funny way of telling me. But do you have Jesus? Are you searching for Jesus? Jesus is the answer. You just have to ask him, "Jesus, I'm sorry for the wrong that I've done." We're all born in sin. "Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please forgive me. I want to follow you. Help me to follow you." About that simple. And just say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving me." Let's be standing together. Bow your heads as we pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to those that hear this message and are hearing this message. That the Holy Spirit would convict them. That they might know that there's something wrong in their life without you. That they might feel the sense of sin upon their life, and that they need to get right with you. Maybe, Lord, they've searched in all the wrong places. Maybe they feel like they've done too much to be a Christian, but they haven't, Lord. You want to forgive them. Maybe they feel like the outcast of the outcast. They feel like no one cares about them, but you do. Maybe they've been going through the motions, been going through the activities of religious nature. They've been pretending. They need something deeper. Help them to find you today. And for those that have you in their heart, may they be rejoicing today. For you being in their heart. Be with us these next few moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.